Praise the Lord. Oh. So, I love Wednesday nights. I love coming here because the faithful come here on Wednesday nights. Why are you here? Praise the Lord. Hear His truth. Hear His word. Be built up. Be edified. Grow together. Love one another. So the Lord has a word for the church tonight. Robert called me on Monday, I think it was, and asked if I could take tonight. And Tuesday morning, I was out on my prayer walk, and I said, Father, I don't have anything for Wednesday night. And I need to hear from you. And I'll tell you what, church, it wasn't very long. I was just putting one step in front of the other, going right down the lane, just a walking. And then He just started to speak to me. And it just started with one verse, which we'll go over tonight. And as I walked, and I was looking down at the ground, and I just pondered it. And then pretty soon another thing came, and another thing came, and another thing came. And then I had to whip out my phone and go over to YouVersion and say, okay, oh, whoa, that is really good. Oh, that's awesome. And He was teaching me so that I could teach you. And so let's begin tonight in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. Now, Robert's been there, and this was a verse that we're just going to spring off of tonight by way of remembering what his message was 2 weeks ago, or a week ago Sunday. So I want to start with verse 22. As you know, I read out of the New Living Translation. And this says, yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence. I love that. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. So remember, Pastor Robert's talking about that. Church, we are holy because of what Jesus has done for us. We are blameless. We are without fault. That's our position. The next verse, 23, says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. So if Paul's writing to the church at Colossae and he says, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it, it must mean that it's possible not to stand firm in it. Uh-huh. And so he's saying, listen, because of what Christ Jesus has done for you, because you are covered by His blood and you are made holy and you are blameless and you are without fault, he said, continue to believe this. Believe this truth and stand firm in it. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sosthenes. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as He did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Who was Paul writing to? The church the church, Christians. He's writing to Christians. And he's telling them the same thing that he just said over in Colossians. Christ has made you holy. That's your position. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready. So the people that he said in chapter 1 that he's writing to, the church at Corinth, those people who are made holy by the blood of Jesus, and in chapter 3 he's saying, I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. But you know they weren't infants. They weren't just newly born. They'd been around. And he says, yet I have to treat you, I have to talk to you as if you are infants in Christ Jesus. There are people in the church today who have been going to church for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, who are as if they were in this world or are yet infants in Christ Jesus. Let's see why. It says, and you still aren't ready, verse 3, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with one another, with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? So when we are jealous of one another, when we are quarreling with one another, when we have a root that is bearing bitterness, when we harbor unforgiveness, and we make a vow, I will never forgive whomever. My mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my coworker, whoever, because they hurt me, they wounded me. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? So here's the word, church. Pastor Robert is giving the word to us. We are blessed. We live under the blessing of the Almighty God. And we have been made holy, blameless, without fault. That's our position. We need to live like it. We cannot quarrel. We cannot be jealous. We cannot walk in unforgiveness. We cannot walk in anger. We cannot walk in hate. We have to walk in purity and uprightness. We have to walk in joy. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We cannot, the church, Living Waters Church, the people that come here, we cannot walk as if we were living in the world. We cannot walk as infants in Christ. If you are a newborn, it's time to learn. It's time to take that pure spiritual milk of the Word and grow up into your salvation. But if you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and more years, the expectation is that you will be mature in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Do you see a theme here? He has made us holy. May He give you more and more grace and peace. The church must walk in grace. The church must walk in peace. Look over at verse 13. So, think clearly. In other versions, it says, gird up your mind. Think clearly and exercise self-control. In other versions, it says, be sober. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. We have a hope. We have an inheritance that is kept for us in heaven. He talks about that in the first verses of this chapter. So look forward to that gracious salvation. 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the Scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So we are called to holiness. We are made holy through Christ Jesus our Lord. By His blood, we are blameless. We are righteous because of what He has done for us. And so now we must be obedient children, and we should conduct ourselves in holiness. No more flirting with the world. James 4:4 says that if you love the world, you are an enemy of God. So, we need to walk in holiness. It's going to get better here. And remember, verse 17, that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So, you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as foreigners in the land. This world is not our home. Our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's our position. Our position is holy, blameless, without fault, seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So let's walk that way. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom He paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now, you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Why does he end up on that? Why does he say we must love one another? Because he first loved us. And we love him. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples." So if we don't love one another, what does that say? We're walking according to the world. We don't know who we are in Christ. We don't realize the ransom that was paid for us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Church. The church needs to rise up and be holy. We need to love one another. I don't know how many times I have counseled in husbands and wives that had a misconception, actually an ungodly belief, of what love is. And, you know, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we read about what love is. But love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is a command, something that you do by an act of your will. And it is something that has no strings attached. It's something, it always takes an object. We don't just love. I love my wife. She's the joy of my heart, 44 years and counting. And so we love as Christ loved us. That's what the church looks like. But it grieves my heart to look across the church and see quarreling and bickering and strife and division. Not love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Second Peter chapter 1. "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness, or the righteousness, of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Oh, we're supposed to grow. If you have a 16-year-old in your house that sometimes act like a 2-year-old, you have one that's chronologically 16 years old and yet is acting as an infant. That's just what Paul described in the Corinthian church. So we expect a child who is 2 years old, who becomes 16 years old, to act like a 16-year-old. In other words, they grow. They grow in knowledge. Hopefully they grow in wisdom. They grow in understanding. Hopefully they start to pick up some discernment. Hopefully they're able to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. How do we do that? It's amazing to me that there are countless Christians who are starving themselves because they don't take in the Word. The Word is truth. Remember that? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to take the Word in because it is truth. The truth counteracts the lie. We're going to be fed lies in the world, and so we need to take in the truth. If we take in the truth, then we are going to grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Oh, and by the way, there's something else going on. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It's not a lie. So we have the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, it says it's the anointing. We have the anointing, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit within us, and He teaches us. But listen, we have to be teachable. We have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in order to grow. And we also grow by edifying one another. He's given us good gifts. He's given us gifts so that the church will be edified and will grow up. Oh, golly gee, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, and we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. There's the picture right there. So Peter, in the second letter, is saying, listen, grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, by His divine power, I love that, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Oh, guess what? we're without excuse. Because he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. You know what the Greek word for everything is? Pas. It means everything. So that means that there's nothing that isn't in everything. Does that make sense? So he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That means, church, that we can walk a godly life. And it happens by his divine power. His divine power lives in us. And he says, we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. So we don't have to go back to living the way we used to, satisfying our own fleshly desires. No. We can walk in holiness. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Guess what the Greek word is for every? It's pos, and it means every. So he has given us every blessing in the heavenly realms. There's nothing that is outside of every. It's all contained in every, and he has given us every blessing in the spiritual, in the heavenly realms, because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And that's how we walk. We walk in Christ Jesus. He's the vine. We are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That's how we walk. And, oh, I just thought of another one. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Guess what the Greek word is for all things? Pas. Listen, church. God the Father, from the foundation of the world, planned on sending his Son to the cross to redeem us. And so he didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up, his only begotten son, for us. So will he not also give us all things with him? We have everything that we need. We cannot go on living in jealousy. We cannot quarrel and bicker and fight. We cannot stew over that. Even though you sustain a wound, that wound can be healed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You do not have to stay there and pick at it the rest of your life until it is running and oozing with pus and bleeding and you just keep picking at it. No, he has won the victory. He has healed us. He has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. That means that we have spiritual victory. We have spiritual power. We have healing for our mortal bodies. We have everything that we need, and it goes back to that Colossians verse. You need to believe it and stand firm in it. Almost done. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way, listen to this. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. We have been cleaned. We have been cleaned of guilt. You now have a conscience that can be so sensitive that at the least little provocation, it will say, here's what is right, here's what is wrong. What are you going to do? I'm going to follow what is right. Because I have been trained. Ooh, that just reminded me of another verse. So Hebrews chapter 5. The writer of Hebrews is saying, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. How many people inhabit our churches like that? You're not one of them, I hope. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So, church, we need to be mature. We need to grow up. We need to be teaching others also. 2 Timothy 2:2, you can go look that one up. All right, I'm almost done. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? He's going to give us a grand entrance. Oh, man. I wish Joseph was up here on the drums. You know, drum roll, please. Now, announcing through these doors, my servant, Lex Brown, making a grand entrance into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go up to Jesus and you stand right in front of him and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what's going to happen. It will happen. So you don't want to be one that just sneaks in unannounced. You want a grand entrance. You've seen all those movies, you know, when they come into the big ballroom and they announce, what are those titles? The grand Duchess and Duke of Marlborough. And they come swaggering in. We're going to have a grand entrance. But we're heading up to a revival time. And it means that it has to start with you. So everything that we've gone over tonight in all the scriptures, you need to say, I'm going to be holy. I am going to conduct myself holy, in holiness, because He is holy. Therefore, I am holy. I will walk in holiness. So you make that your prayer. You make that your daily prayer. You go home tonight and you say, just ask, I'll tell you what. Go home tonight before you shut your eyes and go to sleep. Why don't you ask Jesus? Say, Jesus, is there something that I'm doing right now that displeases you? Is there something right now that's keeping me from being holy? And He'll answer. You know why? Because He wants you to be holy. He wants you to walk like that. And He will tell you something. And then right there, you say, yes, Lord, I will do that. And then you just end your night and you say, Father God, I will walk in holiness. There's a great verse in Psalms that says, I will, the psalmist David says, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So tell the Lord that. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this time together because we are family and we love one another unconditionally, no strings attached. Thank you that you are at work in us, both to will and to do your good pleasure. Thank you that you are at work in us to do far more abundantly than anything we can ask or think. Thank you that the work that you have begun in us, you will complete at the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we will have a grand entrance into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have given us everything that we need. So we say, with one heart, one mind, one spirit, yes, Lord, we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Pick up the offering. Anybody needs an envelope? Raise your hand. Any announcements, Laura? Dinner on the grounds. Tuesday and Wednesday night and Saturday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Oh, okay. So the Tate's here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday and Wednesday. And dinner on the grounds. Awesome. Can't wait. With that in mind, be praying. Pray fervently. Because the Holy Spirit is going to move. And there are going to be people who are going to be saved. There are going to be people who are going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, whose ministry is to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, to walk a godly life. Well, so we need to be prepared to remember, we're mature, and we teach others also. We need to be prepared to come alongside and help the infants grow. Amen? We cannot just sit them in front of the refrigerator and say, have at it. It doesn't work. We need to love. We need to help them grow. We need to teach. We need to disciple. Oh, and we need to be free. We need to walk in freedom. Amen? Let me pray for the offering. So, Father, thank you that you have given us everything, so we want to give part of the everything back to you. And we ask you to double it, triple it, quadruple it, quintuple it, whatever is beyond there, Father, that you do it 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever you will, Father God, to make yourself known so that your glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Whew. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for your blessing that we walk in. In Jesus' name, amen.